This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through his series on the Sermon on the Mount. Here's Pastor Sandy with his message entitled, How Bad Do You Want It?
Hey, Jesus does love you. He died to forgive you. God desperately wants to forgive you. But you got to confess the sin that's really causing the problem. Once there was an old man, he offered the same prayer every single Sunday morning at church. He would stand up and he would pray, Lord, clean out the cobwebs. Oh, Lord, clean out the cobwebs. Finally, one young fellow, he got tired of the old man's prayer. And as soon as the old fellow had sat down one Sunday, he jumped up and he prayed, Lord, forget about the cobwebs. Kill the spider. This is what Jesus is telling us. Recognize the problem. What is it that causes you to sin? Then get that out on the table, and the Lord will begin to work in your life. Well, first, recognize the cause. You should write that down. Recognize the cause. And then second, write this down. Radically repent. For once you've identified what's causing the sin, what's next? Well, Jesus tells us. He says, pluck it out and cast it from you. Cut it off and cast it from you. Here's how to deal with a sinful stronghold. You pluck it out, you cut it off, and you cast it from you. And this calls for radical action. Can you think of anything more drastic than chopping off a hand or gouging out an eye? I mean, the imagery here is so graphic and violent. Obviously, Jesus is calling for desperate action. And this is how you deal with a sin that's hard to shake. You stop playing around with it. Instead, you pluck it out and you cut it off and you throw it away. You do whatever it takes to logistically and physically remove yourself from the vice that has you entangled in its web. Evangelist Billy Sunday once said, the reason we struggle with sin is we treat it like a cream puff rather than a rattlesnake. Repentance takes sin seriously. You see, true repentance is more than remorse and tears and regret. It's more than a wounded pride. It's more than just being sorry you got caught. It's more than public embarrassment or wanting it over with so that you can avoid any more painful consequences. Listen carefully. Repentance is the willingness to do whatever it takes not to sin again. Repentance is the willingness to do whatever it takes not to sin again. Simply put, it's severing yourself from the cause of your sin. You see, throughout the New Testament, the Lord expects two things from us. He wants us to repent and to believe. We need to have faith. We need to believe. We need to turn our lives over to Jesus and let Him do that awesome work in our hearts, that heart transplant that He wants to do. He promises to take out our heart of stone and replace it with a compliant heart, a heart that loves God and loves other people. He wants us to believe and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. But all the while I'm believing, my other responsibility is to repent. This means that as I'm believing God for His power, I'm also staying as far away from the sin as possible. You see, Jesus cuts the rope from the pit bull, but I can't keep coming over and petting in it and feeding it. You need to supply a willingness to change. Hey, I understand, we cannot change ourselves. Jesus alone has the power to affect significant changes in our lives, but we have to provide Him the desire to change. God isn't going to work changes in our lives against our will. This is why repentance takes drastic action. To overcome a habitual sin, you need to remove yourself from the people and situations that perpetuate that sin. Jesus says, gouge it out, cut it off, cast it away. Stay away from the cause of your sin. You see, repentance gets really practical. I mean, it's like cutting off an appendage. You take a different route home from work that avoids the bar. You skate around the folks that used to sell you cocaine. You avoid the girls at the office that like to get together and talk about people. You throw out the pot plants you're growing in your basement. You get a porno filter for the internet, or you let your wife browse your laptop at night. You block out the cable channels that stir up lustful thoughts. You cut up the credit cards so that you don't fall prey to impulsive spending. You see, if you don't do these things, you can't truly say you're repentant. Real repentance involves renewing my mind and restructuring my time and reordering my priorities and rearranging my schedule and reassessing my friends. Hey, if maintaining my integrity means losing my job, then so be it. God can find me another job. If the TV is the bait stick, then I need to lock up the TV in the closet for a while. If I'm single and my physical desires are out of control, then repentance for me means stop dating until I can get a handle on my hormones. Recall our initial question, how bad do you want it? The sacrifices each of us are called on to make will vary, but our reaction needs to be the same. Yes, Lord, whatever I need to do, I'll do. We need to repent at the root. Guys, don't settle for anything less than total victory. See, here's a mistake people often make. People think that we can overcome our ensnaring sin by tapering off, not cutting off. Jesus didn't say taper off. He said cut it off, pluck it out. If you want God's deliverance, you can't just expect to ease away. The Lord tells us we've got to cut it off and cast it out. We've got to put an end to that sin. Don't just try to strike a happy medium. Jesus is clear. Whatever causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Reminds me of the guy who went to a fortune teller. All this gal did was smile at him. She had this really strange, plastic, phony smile plastered all over her face. All he's talking to her and all she's doing is just grinning at him. Well, finally, the man got so frustrated, he reached over and he just tried to slap the silly grin right off the girl's face. Later, he was arrested. You know what he was sentenced with? Striking a happy medium. That's not what you want to do if you're struggling with sin. Don't just strike a happy medium. Don't hang on to your sin for a rainy day. Hey, some of you have got a stash put away right now. I know you do. Some of you, you got it in your pocket right now. Or it's in a cabinet at home. Or it's hidden in your garage where your wife can't find it. I'm telling you, hold on to your sin and it will come back to haunt you. Don't ever forget, stuff leads to other stuff. Do you understand this? Life is full of chain reactions. I call it the snowball effect. Get the ball rolling and it builds momentum. And this works in either direction. Start moving in godliness and godliness will grow. But likewise, little compromises end up leading to bigger compromises. Again, here's the principle. Stuff leads to other stuff. Vin Scully was a long time, still is a long time, sportscaster for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Once he got a letter from a female listener who wrote to tell him that she was expecting a baby. You wonder, what did Vin Scully have to do with this woman getting pregnant? Well, it's not what you think. She writes to him, "Dear Vin, my husband falls asleep at night listening to the Dodgers game. The radio is on his side of the bed. And to turn it off, I have to crawl across him. I want you to be the first to know that we're expecting a baby in 6 months." In other words, stuff leads to other stuff. Good or bad. And this is why we need to be careful. This is why tapering off is not enough. You've got to cut it off. See, any little action can set off a chain reaction. And you see, this is why a big part of the Christian life isn't just cutting off bad habits and attitudes, it's developing good habits, new thought patterns, embracing a new identity. Remember, the snowball effect works both ways. Get rolling in the wrong direction, and it's hard to stop. But get some momentum flowing in a Godward direction, and you'll go from grace to grace to grace. You'll begin to grow. See, here's what Jesus is telling us. Recognize your sin, then radically repent, and then third, write this down, recruit some help. Recruit some help. See, if Jesus had meant to be taken literally, it would be difficult to gouge out your own eye. Somebody asked me yesterday, have I ever thought of using contacts? I said, I can't put my finger in my eye, let alone gouge out my eye. Too squeamish. You'd have a hard time chopping off your own hand. Most of us are too squeamish for that job. Harriman O'Neill is an exception to the rule. No, if we wanted to chop off a hand or pluck out an eye, we would recruit a doctor to perform the procedure. And likewise, when it comes to this kind of struggle with sin, we also need some outside help. We need a friend. I read where movie companies today and concert promoters are assigning sober companions to famous actors and rock stars with substance abuse problems. For the company, they're protecting their investment. These people are also called clean living assistants. They're always on duty. They're hovering around the person to remind the struggling star of the issues and what's at stake in their life. You know, as Christians, we too have a sober companion. His name is the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us to convict us and to comfort us and to guide us. And we should trust Him. We should walk with Him. But God also places us in a family of other believers, the church. And in the church, we should recruit some friends to be clean living assistants. We need a fellow Christian or a group of believers who will hold us accountable and who will ask us the hard questions like, how's it going at home? When was the last time you lost your temper with your kids? How did you spend your evenings on that recent business trip? Are you reading your Bible every day? Is there anyone in your life asking you those questions? You need to recruit some help. I've heard it said, sin can breed only in the dark chambers of the mind. Like mold and mildew, sin flourishes in dark, damp corners. It's only when we confess our sin and get it out in the open, when we expose our sin to the light of God's Word and the fresh air of the Holy Spirit, that's when sin dissipates and loses its potency. If you keep it hidden, it only gains more and more momentum. This is why James chapter 5, verse 16 instructs us to confess. James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You see, healing takes place. Power is unleashed when we open up our lives to one another. It's been observed in the early church, Christians confess their faults to one another. In the medieval church, they confess their faults to a priest. In today's evangelical church, we confess our faults to God alone. Christians have become more and more private in our confessions, and we have become shallower in our fellowship. If we're going to deal effectively with the sin and struggles in our lives, we have got to make room for people who care, who will help us chop off that sin when necessary. Oh, so often we worry about what people will think if they learn of our real problems. But hey, most likely those other people you're worried about, they have the same struggles themselves. We hide from each other while we desperately need each other. Let me ask this group this morning a question. Will all the perfect people please stand up? Somebody pointed out this morning that I was standing up. Except me. I don't have a chance. Will all the perfect people join me and please stand up? Obviously, nobody stands up. Hey, none of us are perfect. We shouldn't pretend to be. This means that everybody here this morning will be sure to extend grace and mercy because it's grace and mercy that they need too. Nobody here is ready to judge. Nobody's here is in that place. Hey, don't you think it's time for you to reach out to someone who can help you gouge it out and cut it off and throw it away? I think so. Well, there's one more key that we glean from our text. When it comes to overcoming sin in our lives, we need to recognize its cause, repent radically, recruit some help, and then fourthly, write this down, rethink your priorities. Rethink your priorities. Notice here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, Jesus is making value judgments. Notice twice he tells us, it is more profitable. That's a value word. It's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. We need to understand a basic truth. Nothing on this earth or in this life is worth holding on to if it sends you to hell. One of the worst effects of sin is that it clouds our judgment. You see, in the midst of an ensnaring sin, we can lose sight of important allegiances and loyalties in our lives. I met a man once who was so deluded by his sin that he was stealing his own elderly mother's Social Security check each month so he could go out and bet on the football games. I mean, that's low. That's scumbag stuff. You don't wake up in the morning and decide you want to be a scumbag. But it happens, and the man couldn't even see it. You see, for a person who's battling with a stronghold of sin, those images that keep popping up on the computer, that's the only thing he can see. That next hit, placing that bet, the next drink, that one final time ends up becoming their all-consuming fascination. You see, in the heat of the moment, your sin can mean more to you than your spouse or your kids or even your God or even heaven and hell. This is why the person struggling with sin needs to stop and needs to take time to rethink their life. Sadly, in the world that we live, the emphasis is on the here and now. I mean, people live for the moment or for the weekend, but they don't get much further in their plans. Eternity, heaven and hell are mere afterthoughts. But guys, heaven and hell are real. And our eternal state is being determined right now. Nothing is more vital. Eternity is today's most serious business. You need to think about your priorities. We all need to rethink the issues that are really important to us. You see, Jesus is saying, it is better to endure the unanesthetized pain of gouging out an eyeball and entering into heaven with a patch than it is to spend eternity in hell with two eyes and 20/20 vision. A blissful forever is worth a little discomfort right now. We need to rethink our priorities in light of eternity. You see, just as a physical amputation causes severe pain, so can repentance. To pluck it out or to cut it off or to cast it away means saying goodbye to people and to places and to pleasures that used to fill a hole in our lives. When we first repent, it's painful to lose those former preoccupations that we were dependent on. We've got to rethink. And we've got to decide that the gain is worth the loss. In April 2003, Aaron Ralston was climbing in Utah's Blue John Canyon. He was out for a one-day hike. Ralston was navigating a narrow canyon when an 800-pound boulder shifted and pinned his arm against a crack in a rock. Well, Aaron used the pocket knife he was carrying to try to chip away at the boulder, but it was no use. He rigged up some pulleys with ropes that he had in his knapsack, hoping to move the boulder, but it was no good. After 3 days, he was out of food and water. He realized that he was going to die before anybody found him. And so, this 27-year-old engineer did what he had to do. To save his life, he cut off his own arm just below the elbow. Aaron Ralston's drastic measures freed him from the entrapment, and he was able to hike to safety. Aaron said later, "I felt pain, and I coped with it. I moved on." You see, living for him was worth the pain. And the same is true for us. Trust me, life in heaven, life with God, I mean, life in your own home, raising your own kids, is worth whatever pain an amputation from sin might cause. Our passage teaches us that following Jesus requires painful choices. It hurts to gouge out a sin that was a source of security, or to cut off a friendship that was fun for a while, or to throw out a pleasure that used to help you cope. When you get serious with sin, it will cost you. You see, God insists that you change, and you have to be willing to change. But at first, change is always painful. Kent Hughes comments on this passage. He said, "It hurts to sever your hand or to tear out an eye. And it hurts to give up wrong things in our lives. But it is better your blood be on the ground than your life burn on the rubbish heap for eternity. It stings to turn from certain vices. But the gain from doing so is worth any pain it might cause." Speaking of pain, Jesus endured far more than his share. He was willingly nailed to the cross of Calvary. He voluntarily paid the frightful penalty for our sin. You see, for Jesus, the cross was a trade-off. Though it cost him enormous pain, the cross enabled him to forgive you and to share his life with you both now and forever. Apparently, Jesus thinks that you are worth the trouble. Life with Jesus. Our blessings in Christ are worth gouging out an eye. They're worth chopping off a hand or giving up whatever it might be that's between us and Him. You see, the cross of Christ is a symbol of sacrifice. In one bold, stunning act of courage, Jesus took up His cross and He laid down His life for us. And now in 1,000 daily ways, often common ways, we're called on to take up our cross and lay down our lives for Him. Will you do it? Will you do it? You were saved by the cross. Will you now take up your cross? Hey, don't think for a second you can take up a cross painlessly. No, the cross will always cost you some discomfort, some pain, but it's worth it. Hey, we all want to grow, but here's what you need to realize. There is no growth without change, and there is no change without loss, and there is no loss without pain. Thus, if you want to grow and overcome the sin in your life, you need to expect to make some painful choices. Laying down your life and following Jesus is the only way to live victoriously over the sin that tempts us. Well, the only question left this morning is, how bad do you want it? Is life with Jesus worth whatever it takes to overcome your ensnaring sin? How bad do you want to hear the words spoken over you? Well done, good and faithful servant. Bad enough to recognize the real cause of your sin? Bad enough to repent radically? Bad enough to recruit some help? Bad enough to rethink your priorities? For all of us this morning, it's time. It's time. It's past time to chop it off, to pluck it out, to give it to God. With all that's left, let's follow Jesus. Today we can cross over from sin to victory through the cross of Jesus Christ.
What does the Bible say about judging others? What if a person does something that's directly opposed to the truths of the Bible? What about vengeance? Is it okay for me to get back at those who have hurt me? These are only a few questions Pastor Sandy will answer as he teaches through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, a series that drills down deep into the core of what it means to be a follower of Christ. This has been another edition of Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. He's the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, we're sure that today's message has blessed and encouraged you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to review this message again, or perhaps a family member or friend has come to mind today. Log on to sandyadams.org and click on the radio program option in the main menu. There you'll find today's message. All you need to do is remember today's date and log on to sandyadams.org. Or you can give us a call here at the church. Our phone number is 770-736-2828. That's 770-736-2828. Someone is standing by to take your order. Again, just mention today's date, and we'll send you the full-length CD. Next time, Pastor Sandy will continue with this insightful study on the Sermon on the Mount. On behalf of Pastor Sandy and the entire production team, we want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God bless you.